back with you. Love to come and preach. They won't let me preach at the church we go to now. There's 1,000 people there. There's 5 ministers, and I don't get that opportunity. So it's good to come back and do that. I do want to bring greetings to you from the state of Kansas, where the gas is cheaper. The weather is nicer. It's 59 and sunny there today. Okay, and we have the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, and I got to tell you that it's much easier to be a Chiefs fan than a Bears fan. You know, that didn't even take me hardly any time at all to get used to being a Chiefs fan. And sometimes I just happen to look at the Bears score and go, I'm glad, thank God I'm a Chiefs fan, you know. So it's just good to be back, and even brought my lovely bride, Kathy, there with me today. So remember her. So I want to start today with sharing something that I think is a little funny, but it's about little Susie, and little Susie wanted to go see Santa Claus. And so little Susie's mother wanting her to always have the very best of everything and the best experience took Susie to the Macy's store in New York to see Santa Claus. And Santa Claus asked, you know, they got in line, and she was next, and she came up. And so Santa Claus put Susie on his lap and asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And she took some time to tell him all those things. And then they took a picture together. And then he, before she left, he gave her a huge candy cane. And her mother, wanting Susie to show her politeness, said to Susie, what do you say to Santa for the candy cane, Susie? And without a hesitation, Susie looked up at Santa, and holding up the candy cane, Susie said, charge it. You know, we are into the Christmas season. It is a time of attending parties. It's a time of giving gifts. It's a time of making family plans, putting up trees and decorations, all to celebrate this event that we call Christmas. But here's the question for you today, and it's really the title of this. Did you lose me? I'm in there? Yeah, okay. Is Christmas, Advent, or is it an event? Now, if you want to define the difference between Advent and event, Advent means the arrival or the coming into place. An event is just a planned public or social occasion. Well, you might look at those and you might say, well, Christmas is both of those. But my importance this morning is on the Advent and how the Advent should change our lives. You know, in growing up, we never celebrated Advent with the candles and the wreath. It wasn't a part of our growing up. Most evangelical Protestant churches of that day didn't honor that. That was more of a Catholic kind of thing, and so not very many Protestant churches even talked about the Advent candles and Advent. But we found out that Advent is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And it's not only the 4 weeks, but there's 4 things associated with those 4 weeks, and you celebrate those. And so instead of just celebrating the 25th of December, you celebrate the entire month. Now, my question is, why doesn't every church celebrate Advent? Because Christmas is more than one day. It is more than just the 25th of December. Because it's about the coming of Jesus, amen? And it affects every single day of the believer's life. Now, the first Advent is the birth of Jesus. And the second Advent is going to be his second coming. Looking forward to that. How about you? And how many of you know that there isn't a second coming unless you have a first coming? And so if the first coming is such an important aspect of that, why don't we tend to celebrate it the 4 weeks leading up to it as well as what we would call the day of Christmas? I need you to understand that the first Advent was vertical. It was between God and man. It was about God becoming a man. Not only did he become a man, but he died and he rose again. And if we receive him in our lives, then our lives are right between us and God. The second Advent is going to be a horizontal Advent. Because when Jesus returns, Jesus Christ is going to fix everything that's horizontal in our lives. Amen? When he comes again, the Bible describes, you know, talking about the fact that after that battle, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus is going to make all things right in our lives. In fact, the Advent is the first celebration of the greatest miracle in the New Testament. Now you might think, well, maybe the greatest miracle in the New Testament was that Jesus died for our sins. And I'm certainly not saying that wasn't a great miracle. But had he never been born, he could never have died. If Jesus hadn't come, there'd be no death, there'd be no forgiveness of sins, there'd be no resurrection, no promise of eternal life. Because the Advent was about God becoming a man. And the law pointed out our sin in the Old Testament, but Jesus was born to die for our sins. Amen? And the reason people flock to Christmas, or the reason that people flock to churches at Christmas time, and I really got to thinking about this. The reason that so many people go to church at Christmas time is to celebrate the birth of Christ, of his coming into the world. Now the problem is that some people just go to celebrate Jesus coming into the world, and they don't have the same celebration as those who have Jesus's come into their lives. We give gifts at Christmas time. We put up lights. We put up trees. I mean, we ought to spend the entire month. And you know, I was thinking about that today. My wife started the day after before Thanksgiving. We had all the decorations up. And Lucas and his family came to our house for Thanksgiving. And so it's the entire month for us. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, there's a verse that says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name." They shall call his name, which translated means God with us. God with us. Now, I got to tell you that God with us is certainly not a common everyday event. I mean, when you think about the birth of Christ, there wasn't anything common about that. Wasn't a normal conception. And certainly virgins don't have babies. We're talking about God becoming one of us. Sometimes I just don't think that we grasp the realization about that. God dwelling among us. And I guess the thing that impresses me the most is that God wanted to come. God wanted to come and be a part of us and understand all the things that we go through and we suffer through many times, and some of the things that are going on in the world, all the things. God wanting to identify with us and even with the sufferings in this world. And so Jesus is God made flesh to experience the human condition in every single area except sin. Yet Jesus was tempted in every way, in every sin known to mankind. And he died for every sin committed by mankind. And yet he never sinned. That's what we're celebrating. That shows that God really loves us. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. Is there any more time than Christmas time to celebrate abundance of life? And yet that needs to be celebrated every single day. So we're going to look at four biblical concepts which are part of Advent. They were evident in the first Advent. They're evident in a spirit-filled believer's life, and they will be evident for all eternity in heaven. So here's the question for you to answer today. Is hope and peace and joy and love characteristic in your life? And I want to unpack that today. Let me just ask you, how many of you grew up with the Advent candles and the Advent? Okay, a few of you. Well, the rest of you will get to start doing that from now on. You know, there's so many great things to celebrate about the Advent. Because we happen to live in a world where millions don't have hope and peace and joy and love. You know what they have? They have despair, and they have conflict, and they have misery, and some of them even have hate. And it's sad. It really is sad that there are some people who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and yet are still not living with hope and peace and joy and love. Now, that's not a condemnation. That's just an observation. Okay? And if you don't have love and joy and peace and hope, you may be missing out on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, at the end of this service, there's going to be prayer ministers in the back there that would love to pray with you and love to help you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think as adults, sometimes we really risk the meaning of Christmas. I mean, think about the fact that when you were a kid, and kids are just full of joy, they're full of expectancy, they're full of excitement at Christmas time. But as adults, we sometimes lose that expectancy, that excitement, the joy of Christmas because of what I call the Christmas trappings. But should that happen? Should we lose that over the years? I mean, as we grow up, should we grow out of excitement for the Advent? No, I think we should be growing into more excitement for the Advent. As adults, you know, we often trade the milk and cookies for the meat of God's Word, which should increase our excitement. The further that you get in the Scriptures, and the more you study the Scriptures, the more excitement there ought to be about the truth in your life. The concept of God with us and in us should transform all of us for all of our lives. It should transform our lives. It should transform our church. It should transform our families. Just knowing the true meaning of the Advent, the coming of Christ. So let's unpack these four things this morning very quickly. The first one is hope. Jesus was the promised hope in the first coming. All those people in the Old Testament were promised that there was a coming Messiah. And we have now, because Jesus came, the hope of eternal life. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is talking about eternal life and the fact that we're going to get new bodies someday. Now, I tell you what, if you can get excited at the age of 10 about a present under a tree, how much more should you be excited as an adult about a new body? I'm looking really forward to that. I'm losing 40 instant pounds when my body's transformed. There's a great hope about the resurrection. And Jesus brings us such a hope. He brings us hope in this life. He brings us even more hope in the life to come. Can you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus hadn't been born, if there hadn't been an advent, if there hadn't been a first coming? I mean, after 71 years, I can't even fathom a world without Jesus. Can you? I can't even picture my life without Jesus. What a hopeless world this would be without Jesus. I mean, we think and we talk about the fact that things are dark today around the world. I can't imagine what the world would be like had Jesus not come. I'm sure there would be no light at all. In fact, I think it would be like hell. The Bible describes it as a tribulation time. The 3.5 years of tribulation and the 3.5 years of the great tribulation is going to be a time because Jesus is not going to be with us. And if there was no advent, no light at all, how evil the world would be. So the first advent brought great hope. In fact, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 19 that says this: if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Amen? If this is all there is in this life, we are the most to be pitied. I'm not counting on what's on this life. I'm counting about what's in the next life. Hopelessness is the prevalent attitude in our world. And I hope it's not a part of your world this Christmas. You know, it doesn't surprise me. In fact, Kathy and I were talking on coming down. In the last week in Kansas where we are, in the area that we are, 6 people have committed suicide because they had no hope. You know, all the miracles, all the testimonies bear witness to the greatest miracle of God becoming a man. That's why we celebrate the Advent. And that's why we should celebrate it for more than a day. In fact, here's another verse, Romans 5:5. Look at this verse. Hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We are not hopeless people. And yet, there's probably not a single one of us in this room that hasn't had difficulties in our lives. Things that didn't work out for us in our lives. There were some things that didn't work out in our lives. There were some things, and I was a pastor of this church, that didn't work out. And yet, I never lost that hope because of the coming of Jesus and the hope that he brings to us. And even though a lot of bad things happen to good people, we have hope in the second advent of Jesus, the fact that we're going to live forever. I mean, really, shouldn't miracles and signs and wonders deepen our commitment to Jesus? And yet, we all know people who have had miracle signs and wonders, and yet their faith hasn't deepened. In fact, it's waned a little bit. I think about our own family. In our family, We have suffered through cancer. We suffered through miscarriages. We suffered through disease, and we've had people die. Difficult things. And yet, we rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus. Because Jesus is always there for me. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I know that some of you are not from my generation, but I love that old hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And it is a great hope because of the first advent, which we should lead us to the hope in the second advent, where there's going to be no more death and no more sickness, no more pain and no more tears. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to rule and reign forever with Jesus. Amen? That's why we should be excited about Christmas, of the coming of Christ, because there wouldn't be no second advent without the first advent. So don't ever apologize to anybody for celebrating Christmas, because it's the first coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's why you should say, you know, when I go into a store and somebody says to me, or somebody across the counter says, Happy Holidays, I always say to them, Merry Christmas. And you know what usually happens? They say, Merry Christmas. Because of the coming of Christ. And no matter how dark the world is this Christmas, we have hope. No matter where our families may be, we have hope. No matter what disappointments we face, we have hope. And no matter how much the natural dashes our hopes, I know Jesus is coming back, and there is no better hope than that. And he's going to make everything that's wrong, he's going to make it right again. So you can celebrate Christmas with great hope. The Bible even says that Christ in me, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. So take some time this Christmas and ask yourself a question on what would your life be like without Jesus? I dare say that without Christ, some here would probably be drug addicts. Some here may have taken their own lives. Others here may have been alcoholics. And many of us, maybe death and darkness would have just overcome us. Without Jesus, your life would be a mess. But with Jesus, you are a masterpiece. Amen, Cliff? Amen. The Advent celebrates hope. Jesus changes lives. Whole church can identify and testify to that. The birth of Jesus testifies every day that God wants to come into your world. God wants to enter your problems. He wants to come into your difficulties and come into your tragedies, even though he didn't create any of those. I mean, you think about somebody that went through a difficult time in their life. Think about Jonah. I mean, talk about somebody that was on basically one on a three-day cruise. You know, and when they got out there in the middle of the sea, a storm came up so bad that everybody on that ship thought they were going to perish. And Jonah knew exactly why that storm came up. And in fact, he went to those on that boat and he said, if you want to save yourselves, you better take me and throw me overboard. How would you like to be on a cruise and you be the cause of people going through difficulty and hardship, and you have to say, just throw me overboard and everything will be okay? And so they threw him overboard. And a great fish swallowed him. And for 3 days and three nights, he was inside that fish, not knowing how many days that he had left in his life. In fact, On the third day, Jonah said, I will sacrifice to you, talking to God, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. He was offering up prayers and praise in the belly of that fish. And how many of you know that there were two ways out of that fish? Thankfully, God chose the mouth. Okay? And so when Jesus shows up, here's something you can write down. When Jesus shows up, my hopes and expectations, they go up. Praise God for the first advent of hope. Now, the second aspect of Advent is peace. And of course, you know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You're not going to find peace in this world outside of Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then God is the King of Peace. A peace that passes all understanding. The book that I was looking at through the books, and I remember that a few months ago, and Josh said, I think it stopped three or four months ago, that you used to give all the new people that came into church was a book called Imagine Heaven. Fantastic book. And you read it, and it's about after-death experiences of people who have come back to life. And you know what the number one thing is that they always talk about? It says, when I left this life, I just felt a peace. Jesus is our peace. He adjudicates peace between man and God. The first peace was between man and God. The second peace is going to be between man and man as Jesus comes the second time. Christmas is a time with families, and God wants to reconcile your family through Christ. I don't know what situation, you know. We are very fortunate. We are very blessed that when our families come, you know, we don't have problems speaking about Christ and what he has done for us in our lives and honoring that. But some of you don't have that same privilege. Some of you, you know, your families are away from you, and they need to be reconciled, and yet that hasn't happened yet. The lack of peace in our families or our government or in our world. And people, if you were to ask them, want to obtain a peace between man and man. And yet that's not going to happen until the second advent. Totally. We should hope for it. We should pursue it. But there are some people who do not want peace. And if possible, Romans 12 says, if possible, you can be at peace with all men. Here's something else that you can write down. To live in God's peace, you must have God's priorities. You know what God's priorities is? To love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and love others as myself, as ourselves. And even if you have family members this Christmas not at peace with you, you can be at peace with them. Because the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. How do we do that? By the transforming of our minds and our hearts. Because Jesus is our peace. Understanding, recognizing that God is not against you. That he will never leave you, never forsake you. And you can still be the variable to bring peace to your family. You know, because your family may have lost its peace, don't you lose yours. Remember, Jesus was at peace with everybody, but not everybody was at peace with Jesus. The cross is vertical and it is horizontal. The first advent was peace, God becoming a man. The second advent is going to be a peace vertically as Jesus sets everything right. Understand that God is not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He's not going to punish you in this life. He's not going to pour his wrath out on you in this life. He's not going to curse you with a curse. But God has made peace with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second advent, that peace is going to be established horizontally in this world with a new heaven and a new earth. I think about the last days as we look at the way the world is, and we're always talking about, you know, we're living in the last days, you know, and I think we're living in the last of the last of the last days. And in the last days, the Antichrist is going to offer peace to the entire world. He's going to be saying peace, peace, and people are going to like him. And this guy is going to save the planet from global warming. This guy is going to save the planet from nuclear war. This guy is going to feed the entire world, and he's going to be hollering peace, talking about peace horizontally. But you can't have peace horizontally without peace vertically. And the First Thessalonians says the world will think they're getting peace through the Antichrist, and then it says, and sudden destruction will fall upon them. I tell you, things are lining up scripturally, and brothers and sisters, it's not going to be long. I would love for it to be in my lifetime. In fact, I'd love for it to be today. But peace only comes through Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, born of a woman, born the Savior of the planet, born the Savior of your families. He's the true and he's the coming King. And the only peace is the peace made by God through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, what was it that was said to the shepherds in Luke 2:14? The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. You see, God wants nothing but good for you. And Christmas is a time that you can kind of push the reset button and understand that no matter what happened to you this year, God willed nothing bad but only good for you in 2024. And if you had something bad happen to you, God didn't do it. I don't know what's going to happen to you in 2025. But God wants only good for you. And yet there is this other out there whose name is Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And anything that isn't good that happens to you, you need to fight it both tooth and toenail, because it isn't from God. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done this year. Well, I'm going to tell you this truth. God doesn't care what you've done. He still loves you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And understand this. God didn't will you to do the bad things that you did, if you did some. And God didn't will the consequences of those bad things either. They're natural. And here's what I know. Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's a promise you can stand on. And we can stand on it because we have peace through the blood of Jesus. But there's still people out there that blame bad things on God. I think about the first advent. And the coming of Christ. And what happened after the coming of Christ? Within 2 years, a big bad thing happened. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I'll tell you what. God's never going to break his covenant of peace with you through Jesus Christ. So, here's the third characteristic. The third characteristic is joy. The good news of joy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he said, sent them to Bethlehem and said, you go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. I realize that you and I, we can't recapture the joy that we had about Christmas at 10 years of age. It's a different kind of joy. But as an adult, I have the opportunity to put away childish things, have the opportunity of understanding, of thoughts, of speech, and I can rejoice in how good Jesus has been to me and the free gift Jesus has brought to me from the first advent. And to have that kind of joy, you got to wade through the trappings, I call them, of Christmas. The secularism, the greed, all the things that come with this event. They don't come because we celebrate, if we celebrated Christmas the entire month, they come because Christ isn't in many hearts. Every good thing God does, and every good thing that God does, what happens? Satan comes along and counterfeits that good thing. Now, as a kid, you didn't realize that. But as an adult, you should have grown past that. You should be as excited, even more excited this year than you were when you were a child, because of your understanding of the Advent. Now, I got to tell you that every minister of every church that celebrates the Advent, when we were here and had the celebration, each year at Christmas time, but there were sometimes some misguided Christians who would come to me and say, I'm not sure we ought to celebrate Christmas. It's kind of like they wanted to steal your joy. You know what they'd say? I've had people say to me, you know what? Christmas isn't in the book of Acts. The first church didn't do it. Acts is all about the resurrection. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, have you lost your ever-loving mind? There would be no resurrection without the birth of Jesus Christ. No abundant life without Christ. No taking back authority from Satan without the coming of Christ. No Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. No power for us to be Jesus in this world as he went to be with the Father so that we might have the Holy Spirit. In fact, the verse of this church is, as he is in this world, so are we. Satan can't steamroll over you because we have authority through Jesus Christ. And scriptures say the shepherds celebrated his birth and the wise men celebrated his birth. All of heaven opened up and celebrated his birth. Simeon celebrated his birth. Anna celebrated his birth. I think I'm in pretty good company there to celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, you know, sometimes people say, you know, Jesus really wasn't born on the 25th of December. It's not about a day. It's about an advent. It's about the coming of our Savior. Now, we may pick one day and say, okay, well, that'll make it Christmas Day. And because of that, you don't have to go to work that day. But it's all about the coming of Christ. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I'm celebrating who Jesus is. You know why? Because he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and he cleanses the lepers, and he casts out demons, and he calls us and empowers us to do the very same things that he did. And God has given me a gift that keeps on giving and giving, and that gift is good tidings of great joy. As a kid, it was joy in getting presents. I'm not debating that fact. Many kids just simply look at Christmas as being that time that they get gifts. And as adults, we have great joy at Christmas time. Sometimes just seeing people, being with your family, laughing and loving and living in the unity in Christ. Because of Jesus, I get great joy this time of the year, and I would hope have it the entire year. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it talks about the wise man, and I'm not going to spend time reading this because I got to land this plane at some point. But the, you remember the Magi, they were men who studied the heavens, and the heavens testified to the greatness of God. And what was it? The star directed them. When they saw the star, they knew that a king had been born, and the star directed them to Jerusalem. And what did Herod do? He said to them, you know, when you find the Christ child, come and let me know that. And Herod called the religious leaders of that day and said, where was the king to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem. And the Magi, it says in this scripture, came to a house, not a stable, not a cave, not the place where Jesus was born. It says he came to a house where the baby was, no, where the child was, in verses 10 and 11, and they had great joy because they found the great king. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and coming into the house, they saw the child. It's okay to be excited about Christmas, to have great joy, unspeakable joy. And I realize you can't maintain that every single day of the year, but the first Advent was a reason for great joy. Hope, peace, and joy. And I got to tell you, you know, I used to have people say, well, the wise men weren't there the same time as the shepherds were they? And yet, Every nativity scene you see, it's got the wise men, it's got the shepherds. Let me let you in on a little secret here. Do you know why the wise men and the shepherds are always together at the manger scene? It just saves time. I mean, it was 2 years difference there almost. And we know that because Herod killed all the babies 2 and under. But it just saves time. So don't get bent out of shape. It's just about saving time. You know, how would you put on a Christmas play with the shepherds and then say, then have somebody come across and 2 years later, and then the wise men come in, you know? The last aspect of the Advent is love. Romans 5:5 again says that God's love has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we have a love given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we love because he first loved us. That's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, you have a love inside of you that is beyond you, and you need to yield to it. Greatest verse ever, John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved us. You know, kids are going to be thinking about gifts, and that's okay, because you know what the gifts are? They're a type and a shadow of the true gift of Jesus Christ. Kids are going to grow up and be adults one day. And if they understand, if you will teach them the greatest gift ever given out of love. And whenever you're giving gifts to whoever this Christmas, Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, you're giving a gift to Christ. Love gives. And God so loved the world that he gave. And the best gift that he's ever given is his son. I'm so glad that God gave us that gift and he forgives us. Now, how many of you are glad about the first Advent, the coming of Christ? How many of you are even more glad that the second coming is coming? Okay. If you love the first Advent, and I got to tell you, if you love the first Advent, but you're really not ready for the second Advent, if you're looking at your heart today and you're saying, I'm not sure if he came today, whether I'd be with him, then you have some business to do with God this Christmas. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. And because of God's gift of his son, he forgives your sin if you would just accept him. And the very last slide says this: because Jesus showed up at the first advent, my hope and my peace and my joy and my love grows up. If you are not sure of where you stand with the Father who's in heaven, then you need to do business with God today. And I know following the end of this service, and Josh will talk about this, there will be people to minister to you. But I just want to encourage you to get all the hope, all the peace, all the joy, and all the love you can get out of Christmas. And then live on that the entire year, every day of your life, because God loves you. Give your life. Make sure your life is ready, because we don't know when that second advent is going to take place. God bless you.